I'm super excited about today's chat because we got two amazing guests in the house. First off, we got Dr. Uribe, a rock star in the mental health scene for over 12 years. She's got a doctorate in social work from FIU and is all about that holistic therapy life. Lately, she's been diving into the ketamine-assisted psychotherapy, bringing some cool, innovative vibes to the table. And then we got Ms. Bianchi, who's been in the mental health field for over 5 years. She received her master's degree in social work from Barry University and got her license. She's right there next to Dr. Uribe, exploring the world of ketamine-assisted psychotherapy. In this episode, we're diving into the world of ketamine. First things first, what even is ketamine, right? We'll chat about ketamine-assisted psychotherapy, the whole infusion therapy deal, and how often folks get these ketamine infusions. And the big question, is ketamine right for you? We'll touch on its connection to substance abuse and figure out who's eligible for this kind of therapy. These two are all about cutting-edge mental health care, and I can't wait for you to listen. Welcome back to another episode of The Mindful Space. Today we have Fiorella Bianchi and Liliana Uribe. Welcome.
Thank you so much for having us.
We got an Italian name and a Spanish Hispanic.
Yes.
I got you.
The beautiful Miami melting pot.
Perfect example. So today we are going to be talking about ketamine and how does that help with the, you know, amongst the mental health field. And we're going to dig deep.
Yes. Right?
So before we start, can you girls please introduce yourself?
Absolutely. So as you already mentioned, I'm Dr. Liliana Uribe. I'll go a little personal. I'm 35, 36 in a few months. I've been married for 13 years, together for 18.
Nice.
I have a 9-year-old baby girl. Not a baby anymore. but we call her my baby. They make fun of me for that. 3 dogs at home. So we're very busy. I'm a little professional into my field. What happened? Been on the field for almost over 10 years at this point. Graduated very early with 22 with my master's.
Oh, Lord.
28 with my PhD. 2 months pregnant when I did that program. Call me crazy. Yeah. In social work, so that's really my field. All of my degrees have been in social work. Mm-hmm. But really done so many different settings, worked with so many different populations that I landed here today.
Okay.
Randomly, honestly.
It's been a journey.
Yeah, it has.
Okay.
It
has. What about you?
My name is Fiorella Bianchi. I'm a licensed clinical social worker. Maybe one day I'll do the PhD. But basically, I mean, I didn't start out in any kind of mental health, actually. I was a theater kid growing up my whole life.
Oh.
Yeah, I have a BFA in acting, and that was supposed to be the field I was entering. But Lily and I are actually... We're sister, and she's my sister-in-law. She's married to my brother.
Oh,
and
fun fact.
Yeah, she's been my mentor growing up. And when I was watching her go through that whole field of mental health, I was struggling with mental health myself. And I realized that it was something that I could learn to help myself and also to help people that went through what I went through when I didn't have. I grew up in a Latin household. Mm-hmm. In Latin community, that's not really talked about mental health. You know, you go clean. Yeah. Ah, something's wrong, go clean.
Yeah.
So
destruction.
Yeah. So
okay.
As it's progressed, she kind of guided me into social work. And I kind of want to preface by saying that there's a huge confusion when it comes to psychology and mental health and social work. You know, you see social work, you think case manager.
Mm-hmm.
But the reality is that we do work in mental health. We do provide therapy and we get into specializations like ketamine assisted therapy, which is what brought us here. And yeah, I mean, my focus is in youth. I specialize in depression and anxiety. She's the one that introduced me to ketamine and honestly, how amazing it can be when it comes to depression, anxiety, post-traumatic stress disorder. And we've kind of dove into that rabbit hole.
Okay.
We got specialized and we've been working with it and we get to see like the beautiful realizations and transformations that comes with it.
So how come you both decided to pick this, not the field, the specialization in ketamine? What brought you into this whole new realm?
Psychedelics have been around for years, you know, prior to the 80s, right? They had studies on psychedelics and they showed promising results in mental health.
Yeah, in the 60s, there was huge studies on it. And they were using it a lot for people who struggled with mental illness, like schizophrenia, like bipolar disorder. But then the war on drugs happened, right? Where now they were completely monitoring and reducing and making it illegal to take these drugs. So we didn't have access to this kind of information. And I guess jumping into like why we became so interested in it.
My husband. Okay. My husband suffers from bipolar, mild form. So when I say mild form, medication is not always necessary, just depending on how he was managing his care. It got to the point post-COVID that it was really bad. You know, the stressors of the majority of the population at this point experienced, right? Anxiety, depression was went to the roof. And he wasn't special to it either. So looking for various treatments, he kept hearing, and he's a big podcast person. He's always listening to YouTube and all that. And he kept hearing people talking about psychedelics, primarily psilocybin, the mushroom. But then they would mention some of the ketamine stuff. So I started Googling to find out what's around here. What's you know, what psychedelics are being used right now? Honestly, out of desperation, because I just needed him to have something. And he wasn't willing to take the medication, the typical antidepressants to take. And we landed on the clinic in South Miami. You know, they told us about ketamine, how it works. And it did amazing for him. What didn't happen was the mental health part. It was still, I guess, early on in what ketamine is and how to use it, that they weren't doing the mental health part in that clinic.
They were really reintroducing it to society, because it became, ketamine is FDA approved, but not for mental health. Like, it's not something that is promoted to use in mental health until recently. It's always been used for chronic pain or as an anesthetic, because that's what it is, right? So the whole concept of using therapy with these psychedelics, with these dissociatives, to really penetrate like trauma and to really get into it and talk about these things freely without being triggered, without going into an episode, has been substantial. It's incredible.
I mean, now they're realizing this. So now it's being more accepted.
And then they're doing it with LSD, MDMA. Actually, aren't they entering right now in MDMA? They're starting.
They're in phase three, I want to say, for FDA studies.
Yeah, I know recently.
So it's going to come through.
It's coming.
When they need their pharmaceuticals to put the stamp on it. That's the only way we're going to get insurance, is to start covering this.
Very important.
So when I saw the lack of integration with mental health, especially for my husband in a personal level, I saw this is a huge limitation. Granted, I'm a therapist, so I was able to walk him through what he was experiencing, but carefully, because I don't want to be my husband's therapist. We can't be. We're not biased. We're biased because of our emotional attachment to our, you know, our people. So I recognized that limitation. I said, okay, this is something here. And I, because I saw his transformation, I said, there's no antidepressant that can do this. So that's where I dived in. I started doing more research. I started, you know, getting more studies. I ended up meeting an anesthesiologist who wanted to do ketamine as well, because he's a chronic pain doctor. That's what he does. He's an anesthesiologist by trade, but he has a chronic pain clinic. So as I met with him, started talking, he wanted to do the ketamine. I said, let's do it. I could do the mental health part. You do the infusions. And that's where we started.
And here we are.
I haven't had not one client that has had a negative outcome.
Okay.
Every single person that I have treated with the mental health part is doing amazing.
So can you assure at least some type of positive outcome?
I feel like we can. I feel we can say, 99.9%, right? Because we can't control how human beings react to something like this.
Everyone is different.
Right.
Everyone responds to medication differently.
Very different.
Yeah.
I think it's important to know that and to make a note of that, because ketamine treatment is not for everyone. You know, there should be other trials and
just like any other treatment. Or any other legal medication.
And like any
approved.
But what we can say, what we can definitely say, is in our practice, we have not received any negative feedback of this form of treatment.
That's just wonderful.
Yeah, it really is.
For some people that might be listening and have never heard of ketamine, like, what is ketamine? Do you girls mind explaining a little bit?
So ketamine is an anesthetic drug. It has been in the market for years for surgery. So if you're in the ER and you had a laceration, more than likely they're giving you ketamine to put you to sleep as an anesthetic. But it has a dissociative property. So it allows you to disconnect from your body and not feel pain that you're having, to really be in another world so you can heal. That is what ketamine is. Now that we're using it for mental health, micro doses. So it's not going to be the same dose you're going to have as if you were in the hospital. This is going to be a dose that's small enough where you still know you're conscious, you still know where you are, but it's enough to put you in an altered state.
Okay.
And in that altered state is where work can be done.
When people talk about including mental health and ketamine, yeah. You know, they call it the psychotherapy assisted therapy. What does that look like? What is it? I know what it is, putting that together, but what does it look like?
So are you talking about the processing, like how it works?
Yeah. How did you include this ketamine medicine into the mental health practice in sessions?
So one of the main factors in depression is obviously what goes on in our mind, right? The negative format and thinking, the constant, you know, beating ourselves down or just re-experiencing when it comes to traumatic experiences and things along those lines. It is hard to talk about these things. It takes time to talk about these things because sometimes we have these conversations and it triggers us into an episode and we can't finish. And I've seen it happen with my own clients. What this takes away is that it detaches you from that experience to a point where you can talk about it without being triggered, without falling into an episode. And it also, at the same time, because what it does mentally, it allows the nerves to connect, reconnect, mm-hmm. thank you, mm-hmm. and allows for serotonin to actually bypass, which is something that happens in depression. You know, your nerves, they kind of stop functioning like they should.
Yeah.
So this drug, this medicine allows for those synapses to connect again, to start passing serotonin, to give that euphoric feeling, to give that feeling of, I can do this, I can talk about this, I can retake my life and not be taken over what depression or PTSD does or anxiety that doesn't allow you to do on your day to day.
Yeah.
So back to the question, the way it works is that there are 6 sessions for 6 weeks. This is how we work. I know that most clinics have their own, you know, sometimes they do 2 to 3 a week. Yeah. But the way that we function is in a 6-week times, you go once a week. You have your session, you go through your trip, which is an intravenous way.
Those are the infusion treatments?
So yes,
the infusion treatments. So you go through your treatment, you go through your trip. Once you are done, it takes about 45 minutes. Mm-hmm. We allow you to go home, rest, process what happened, and the following day you meet with our doctor, Dr. Uribe, and she will process with you.
Yeah, so it's a therapy session. What makes it so different is they don't only see visuals, but what they do is feel mostly. It's big on feeling and emotion. Most people go in thinking they're going to see something. Most people don't. Okay. Most people may see darkness or just may see colors. But the feelings associated with the experience is what I'm tapping into.
Okay.
I'll give you an example. Mm-hmm. I have one going through it now, a female. She's had several traumas in her life. Traumas of personal space, not full sexual on trauma, mm-hmm. but enough to cause an impact with several occasions. Anxiety is to the roof where she's not able to regulate her emotions. So when she's in a phase of heightened emotion, she's very nervous, she's very overwhelmed, she's very irritable, and she can't bring herself down, which has caused a lot of issues in functionality. How does she function in her day-to-day if she's having these reactions? Not only that, but she has a chronic illness that causes her joints to have pain. So that stops
that ability. That alone could be very stressful.
And this is a 23-year-old girl. This is a very young female
who's
aspiring to do a lot in her life. But with all these challenges, who wants to get out of bed? Who wants to go take a shower? Who wants to even try when all these barriers are in front of you? Mm-hmm. So she has an experience where she says, Lily, so this one was weird. She's had 2 already. And she goes to me, you know, I go in it and I start seeing like flashes. Like she's having like almost like this where she sees stages. Like she's on a stage almost and she sees the
like
light,
photograph.
Almost flashes. Photograph,
yeah.
Almost like highlighting the different people in the audience, but she doesn't see faces. She just sees silhouettes.
Okay.
She's like, I said, okay, what was the feeling when you saw that? She's like, it scared me. I said, okay, what did that fear mean to you? So she just sits and she thinks. She goes, oh, wait a minute. I had an issue when I was in middle school that I was in the dance, I was on the stage, and I freaked. I had stage fright. She froze. And she remembered focusing into the audience.
Wow.
And looking at their faces and flipping because they're looking at her like, do something.
Yeah.
That's what she saw on her trip. She's remembering the fear associated with that situation when she was like 12, 13 years old. And how that fear impacted her so much that she can't, she doesn't go on stage anymore. And this girl's a singer, okay. By the way. She produces. She wants to be a singer.
Well, with that fear, yeah.
With that fear, how do you overcome that?
No.
On top of that, that was also very much associated with her past relationships with men and the challenges that she's had with men. I asked her, what was these silhouettes? She said it felt like males. That also hit her triggers. That hit her trauma of the situations that she had with males. Again, it wasn't sexual, but it was enough to invade privacy.
Yeah.
So it's interesting how she didn't even think of that in the moment of her trip. It was after talking to me that all came out. That's how it begins to get integrated.
And sometimes these, when they go through these experiences, they had their session, and then obviously it takes time now for the following. Throughout the week, they'll have flash. They'll
more
have experiences. They'll have more processing because the ketamine continues to do its work of reconnecting those synapses. So this is happening continuously.
So you do 6 sessions of this, and then what happens after that? Do you recommend coming back? Like, do you work on one issue kind of thing? Like, I come for one thing, 6 weeks. Okay, we worked on that. And then do you expect to see them after that?
So I do. I do expect to see them continuously for therapy.
Okay.
Because I tell them, listen, just because you're doing ketamine and you do feel great right now doesn't mean that life isn't going to happen again and you're not going to have an impact. Okay. It takes a crisis, what I call your old programming, to come back, right? We all have a way of thinking. That's a program that of the way we think.
It's how we survive.
It's how we survive. So if we're breaking down that programming and trying to create a new one, a crisis could put you back. But the purpose of the ketamine is not only that you're understanding the why, but you're creating new habits for yourself to maintain coping.
Right.
We were just talking about this in the car. I'm big on lifestyle. It's not just mental health. It's how you take care of yourself. How are you eating? Do you sleep well? And are you exercising?
Yeah.
Because everything. In my opinion, versus professional and personal, that is the base of your mental health.
No, I agree completely.
100%.
We just had another interview as well, and we're talking about hierarchy of needs.
Yes, exactly. Maslow. There you go,
Maslow's. Yeah, diet, sleep, exercise,
Social support.
Yeah. Oh my God, I'm having flashbacks. For you mentioned depression or ketamine to treat depression. How is that helpful specifically for that? How does that work? Do you have any positive cases or cases you've resolved with depression?
Right. So I want to emphasize on treatment-resistant depression.
Yes.
Because sometimes when we have depression, we can have other outlets. We can do talk therapy. We can take medication. We can do lifestyle changes, and that will improve depression. But when it comes to treatment-resistant depression, sometimes it doesn't work. You can try different formats and different outlets, and they just... it isn't working for you. So then we introduce ketamine. As I was explaining, the whole concept of ketamine is the reconnecting of the synapses, the bypassing of the glutamate to the serotonin, allowing for that to increase and for you to start feeling better, having more motivation, having will to want to get out of
willpower,
bed, which is really important when it comes to mental health, as we kind of established. I'm trying to think of, she's the one that works directly with them at the time. So I think she will have more
examples. I have another one. A music teacher, music professor, right? You think very creative, productive, you know, always active in music and writing and all that. So this gentleman comes to us with really resistant treatment depression. He's been in this depressive state for years.
And he's tried a whole bunch of other
methods. He's tried a whole bunch of
stuff. Didn't he try also the shockwave therapy?
That was another one.
We had someone that tried the shockwave and it
didn't do it.
Which it has helped people, but it didn't help this person.
Each treatment is to each its own.
Right.
It is very unique to the person, but this individual hadn't written music, hadn't listened to music in years. This is a music professor, okay? Hasn't listened to music in years, didn't produce anything, was just basically going with almost like automatic movements and like, I have to, whatever. Mm-hmm. when he came to us, he was, even his voice was just a low affect, almost monotone, flat affect, just no expression, nothing. Very stunted and blunted, so to speak. By the second session, this man started talking, just out of nowhere. And he started realizing, oh, I've been depressed for X amount of years. I've been depressed because I can't take care of my mom. I've been depressed because, look, I'm not even listening to music. Like, he just started, the gates opened on him, where he just started understanding why he was so sad. And he goes to me, I'll never forget this. Lily, I've just realized that I have not been an active participant in my life.
In my own life,
In my own life.
That's great.
When he said that to me, I said, wow.
Aha moment.
Oh my God.
Aha moment.
Yes, yes. And I always say to my clients, you're going to have these aha moments very often, sometimes when you don't realize it.
Right.
So part of my expectation with these clients is that you're journaling in between sessions.
Okay, very important.
Because part of the journaling does allow you to process and make sense of what you're thinking. What people don't realize is our thoughts race. We have over 7,000 thoughts a day.
Wish I could stop.
It's insane. Well, what you're teaching yourself to do is be selective with what thought you want to engage with. We can't engage with every single thought.
Yeah.
So him understanding that as well, journaling slows down those thoughts and forces you to capture the one that's the loudest for you, basically.
Yeah. As our wonderful friend Vessel Kolk said, our body is connected to our thoughts.
Yes.
We have these reactions to how we feel, right? That's the whole concept of CBT. You have your thoughts of emotions, thoughts and behaviors. They all intertwine at some point. So,
or like the movie Inside Out. I love using that.
Yes.
Yeah.
I love
so
that.
So it's just the documentation of like what your gut says, oh, this is important. You are learning to become one with yourself again,
right.
Which falls short when you're stuck in your brain when it comes to anxiety and depression and anything that keeps you where you're at. I had a teacher once explain that the way trauma works is that it's like a file getting stuck in like a file cabinet.
Yeah.
And what you're doing essentially, which EMDR helps and ketamine helps and all these modalities help, is you pull out this file. You like straighten it out.
It's been jamming it. Mm-hmm. Like, instead of just going like, oh.
Right.
Which is what we do most of our lives, right?
Do.
We just want to shove that thing back in there and leave it there. I don't want to touch it, right? So this individual, by the time the session's finished, he was playing music. He had his shades all up. He wanted sunlight in his house. He, you know, rekindled with his mom as to what was going on in that situation. And he was happy again.
So you saw a lot of progress.
But it's so hard to give words to be honest, because it even brings tears, honestly. When you see someone so just not alive, they're human, but they're not alive. There's almost like no soul in them.
Yeah,
they're
just, no presence.
There's no presence in them. Mm-hmm. So to see them wake up is beautiful.
It's beautiful.
It's a beautiful thing.
Yeah. I think and as a therapist, when you see a client progress, that's when you're like, oh, okay, this is why I do it.
Well, when you see that weight being lifted off their shoulders, it's almost like this immediate response.
Yeah.
And it reminds you why you do what you do.
It's definitely rewarding.
Mm-hmm. But in respects to maintenance,
yes,
we do, there is sometimes, like what she was explaining, that, you know, life does happen and sometimes we get re-triggered or fall back into like old formatting. So we do sometimes, depending on the client, encourage maintenance. So they would come back maybe a couple months later to do just one session if needed. But we always just try to let like modus at your MO to just keep going. Yeah. Keep doing life, see what you can do, see how far you can go. And whatever the case, we're always here.
Yeah.
Correct.
I think I've had like two or three that have had maintenance, that they needed maintenance.
Okay.
But it was after a crisis, you know, one after the father passed away all of a sudden, you know, that's a crisis that's going to put anybody into a situation.
That's the normal with any type of therapy, just to talk therapy. You know, I always expect them back when like crisis.
When something happens, right.
Of course.
The goal is to help them enough where they can go out on their own, but.
And they feel capable.
Right. But it's a reminder that we're always here regardless. Like, you need to come back.
Right.
Now, when we talk about these infusions and therapy sessions, how safe is ketamine? Because, you know, some people might have concerned out of all the stigma, illegality of it.
Right. I mean, you know, being that ketamine has been used for as an anesthetic, it's very safe. I believe it's a Schedule 3, if I'm not mistaken, right now. And for it to be approved for mental health, it needs to be out of the schedule, I believe, completely.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And that's where they're going to work towards. So right now, ketamine is approved off-label use. Florida. I don't know about any other state. From what I understand, there is no other state. But I haven't done further research on that. So the clinics are safe. There are professionals, medical professionals. You have the doctor who's an anesthesiologist by trade. Or you'll have a nurse or nurse practitioner even actually putting the infusion on you, managing your blood pressure at the same time and your pulse. Because it could affect your blood pressure. Some people do experience an increase in it. I've noticed that if they have a blood pressure history, that's going to be the impact. But as far as after the fact, you may have a little disorientation, a little bit of dizziness, maybe a little bit of fatigue, but this is seconds to minutes and you're done.
Okay.
Some people do get tired after. Some people get energy after. My husband was the one that after 2-3 hours, he would go to the gym. When I did it, I did not go to the gym. I needed to rest. So it just goes to show you the type of person, you know, it's going to be different for everybody.
And you said the whole thing takes about 45 minutes.
About 45 minutes, yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Okay. So,
and then you can go back home.
Pretty much. You go back home to your normal.
I'll see you tomorrow.
Exactly. And I sometimes
journal.
I sometimes tell them, listen, just rest the day of. Don't try to sit and think about it. Don't try to sit and like, what did I just experience? Just be,
what did I just,
you know, do your thing for the day.
Okay.
And then the next day, journal. As it starts to, you start to recall what you saw, because it begins to make sense days later. Yeah. It could be fuzzy in the beginning.
And you mentioned a little bit of the side effects, but everyone can have a different side effects. What would be like the worst case scenario and like the best case scenario?
I think the worst case scenario is that the episode or the trip itself gives you a visceral reaction and it scares you.
Right.
But I haven't even seen that.
In your experience.
In my experience. And the beauty about intravenous, they turn off the pump, you're back.
Yeah. It's you get flushed
fast.
Out.
It's that fast.
Okay.
Yeah. Yeah, so it's not like taking a pill and you're at the mercy of that pill.
Yeah, yeah.
Infusion.
Wait for it.
Right, and you have to wait for it to pass. Not with the IV. You can just turn it off and you're back that fast.
Oh,
right.
Interesting.
Yeah, that's what makes it a lot safer in that way, that if you're not feeling right.
It's a medical procedure at the end of the day.
Yeah.
You have your medical professionals there. Mm-hmm. You are receiving this medication, yes, but you're being monitored. So what we haven't found necessarily long-term risks that are going to affect you. And this is over the years of research when it comes to the drug itself. Not so much just the use of therapy. No, there hasn't been any real long-term risk. I think that's why they use it in the ER so frequently. It's one of the first things that they do, especially when it comes to pain management.
Yeah.
So the risks aren't necessarily too much. Now, will you maybe experience a side effect? It depends on the person.
What about some people debate, you know, they get into the whole drug war and addiction. Is there any risk of addiction of hooking yourself for 6 weeks?
I'm glad you brought that up, because like any drug that anyone takes, that
has risk of addiction.
Right.
Everything. Anything that we take, antidepressant, anything has a risk of abusing it.
Right.
So we're assessing history. We're assessing, you know, coping for me is a big thing. I need to understand, how do you cope now?
Okay.
Because if you have maladaptive coping, you know, you're harming yourself. You're using substances to cope, to, you know, to distract or just kind of wash yourself out of it. That's not going to be good for me to give you ketamine.
Yeah.
And they expect you to go home and do the same thing. So I may even do some sessions before they do ketamine to kind of let them understand, listen, I need you to be in a certain place, readiness for it before we do this.
Exactly.
Most of them have had therapy before. Most people have had some form of treatment before and are at their wit's end and desperate
for
change.
This is the last resource.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah. Let's do it.
But also highlighting the fact that this isn't something, at least in our practice, you're not going home
with it. Yeah.
You're coming to a clinic. You're sitting down, you have people watching, you have people monitoring you. If you're falling into a bad trip, they'll pull you out of it.
Yeah. And how they know that is they're observing you. Yeah. They're checking in every few minutes to see how you're doing.
So the risk of falling into an addiction when it comes to ketamine is low, at least when it comes to our practice.
I think it's low.
Okay. I mean, like you mentioned, it's every drug, right? Even the not scheduled ones. Right. Even the legal ones, like Oxys, Xanax. Right.
Oh, Tylenol. Simple Tylenol.
Yep. Yeah.
People are addicted to Tylenol for pain.
Caffeine.
Caffeine.
People are addicted to caffeine. Mm-hmm. People are addicted to alcohol. You know, it's all about behavior.
Yeah.
And it's all about how you cope, which is why it's such a big thing. Yeah. Assessing the person's history is also a very big thing. If you have addictive behaviors, if you have family of history of addiction, that may be something we may reconsider and try different pathways. But at the end of the day, like any medication, if you abuse of it, mm-hmm. you will fall into addiction of it.
Yes. Yeah. Completely agree. And when you talk about, you know, saying you're doing a couple of previous sessions, who is a good candidate and who is a bad candidate? Have you ever had anybody that you've had to say, no, we can't give you this so far?
When we say bad, I would say the conditions that have more of psychosis mm-hmm. root to it, schizophrenia, bipolar, depending on how bad the manic phases episode is not recommended. And only because they're already in, not so much the bipolar, but they're already in a delusional state for the most part. We don't want to put someone in another delusional state.
Yeah, we don't want to bring it to another realm.
You know, another.
Yeah, we don't want to trigger.
Go back to space, you know, for a little bit. We don't want that. We don't want a negative.
So certain mental health disorders.
Yeah. Right. So schizophrenia, bipolar disorder, one with mania.
Yeah.
Any kind of psychotic disorder, would anyone that falls into psychosis, they wouldn't be proper candidates, and it would be mostly because we'd be putting them at risk, and that's not the point.
Maybe in the future, once the dosages are, because the dosages right now are based on body weight, but we need more studies, long-term studies, even though we do have them prior to the 80s, we need more for modern times.
Yeah,
and hopefully sure with all these trials coming in, we're gonna have so much more information.
I think we'll have more people getting covered, or you know, maybe these
now that it's approved,
right?
The studies won't be like illegal studies. They'll be sponsored.
Right. Right.
So we'll get real data.
Yeah.
And I know we're not the only practice doing this right now. There's a lot of practices in Florida.
They've been coming out. It's so enlightening, to be honest. And like going to the conventions and seeing everyone come together, like in communion and community, and understanding that this is like a huge pathway for healing and integrative medicine, integrative therapy. It's going to be huge. It's going to be so important, I think, for people who have had no way out.
Yeah, no, I completely agree. I think with all the new research and approving scheduling, I feel like this is going to, you know, go far, especially for depression.
Yeah.
And we PTSD, haven't even talked like about veterans. Like suicide ideation and how it immediately relieves that
automatically,
almost immediately
with one session.
Talk about it.
Just candidates that come in or clients that come in with severe suicidal ideation or intent or plan, that you know they're working really hard to like not fall into the thought, not fall into the action. They'll come in for a session, and within the first session, it's almost like this alleviation, this relief of, wow, my brain's not going there.
It's like a veil just lifts over them. It's hard to give words to it. Like we keep saying, it's just the weight is lifted. That thought cycle just breaks down completely and almost disappears.
And I think it has to do with that euphoric feeling because they're feeling happiness.
Yeah.
And I mean,
and they probably haven't felt that in a while too.
Exactly.
So it's like a little reminder, like, oh wait, this is how it feels.
Right.
Okay. I have another question when it comes to the ketamine treatments. Is it recommended for adults, kids? What's the age?
That's a good question.
Yeah.
So right now, 18 and over.
Okay.
They're not sure yet with adolescents because I think the issue or controversy is the brain is still developing.
Right.
So how is it going to impact development long term? We don't have enough studies for that. I don't think we have any studies on teenagers. Yeah. I think they're starting to do adolescents more now.
I did read up that they are starting to do research on adolescents. More like 16, like 17.
Later years.
Okay.
But there isn't enough information.
Yeah.
And I don't feel comfortable yet on that notion because of the development of the brain.
Of course. Right.
I mean, the brain's being developed.
Right.
25.
So
18 is already like a risk.
Right.
Yeah. But then you start asking your questions of, you know, you're having kids diagnosed with ADHD. being on Ritalin, getting on, you know, all this other stuff, exactly. getting diagnosed pretty early, what's the difference, mm-hmm. right? If you're giving them such a strong medication to, you know, handle the focus and attention, well, what would a psychedelic do for them?
Yeah.
It's more natural to a point, right? So I do see it's going to come out eventually, but again, it goes back to studies. The more we study, the more we publish, mm-hmm. the more people are going to say, oh, okay, this is a possibility.
Yeah, right. And like you said, it's used as a last resource or most of the cases. Right. So I know some parents wouldn't mind, you know, just like when the CBD oil came out, right. epilepsy right. and all that, yes. and start seeing
the
all
THC those and CBD. It was, there's all this pushback mm-hmm. when it was visibly and like
effective.
Yeah. Super effective. But I think what happens is that when we introduce something that's new, it's scary. Mm-hmm. Change is scary. Mm-hmm. And sometimes it's hard to fall in line or try these new things due to fear of what it can start, right?
Yeah.
I think the use of ketamine is going to go very far when it comes to mental health and youth and
just everything. Yeah. I mean, it's already far ahead, more than any other psychotropics.
I think so.
And I think the fact that it's being used as a medical thing, as a medical treatment, is what really has it so far ahead.
Yes, that is true. You can see it good in one thing, then maybe we can use it another good thing, just smaller doses.
Right. Yeah.
Well, this has been a lovely conversation.
Yes. Thank you so much for bringing awareness to this topic.
Yes.
A lot of people don't like to talk about it because of what you were bringing up, the whole taboo-ness, the stigma around it. So I think just like mental health, the more that we talk about it, the more awareness we bring, mm-hmm.
the better.
We'll be a better society. Yeah, I just like giving people information that you decide what you want to do.
Informed decisions.
Just options, you know.
Just know what's available.
Yeah.
Don't be so narrowed to what you
think. Some people don't know. Even something as simple as talk therapy. Like, we know the different theories and such. Clients don't know that. So I'm like, all right, well,
a lot of the time they come in skeptics. They're all like, all right, let's see what this is about. And then a couple of months down the line, they're like, wow, this has helped so much. And it's like,
and then they tell all their friends, and we get all their friends. Weird, you have a bunch of friend groups. It's kind of funny.
Yeah, I mean, that's how it goes, right?
Yeah,
with everything.
Yeah, right.
For someone that might be listening to us, that might be considering doing the ketamine infusions, the treatment, the psychotherapy, what would be your recommendation?
Be ready for floodgates to open, because you have to be ready to work. You know, just like talk therapy, it's not just me asking you questions and like kind of, you know, trying to get it out of you. Mm-hmm. The expectation is that you're coming in with something in your mind that you want to fix, and I'm helping you process it, kind of guiding you through the steps of how to achieve it, right? Mm-hmm. So get ready to work, because oftentimes people come into therapy and say, nothing's happening.
Fix my problems.
Tell me
what to do. It's like,
what are you doing in between therapy? Because that's the biggest key.
Right.
It's not just therapy that's going to help you heal. It's what do you do after the fact? Mm-hmm. What are you implementing in your life after what we talked about?
Therapy is just a component. It's
an aid.
One part. It's a tool.
Yeah.
The rest is how you implement it, how you perceive it. I mean, we all know mental health is perception of the world, right? How you live your life and what you see, and it's all subjective. Mm-hmm. So what are you doing to help yourself? How are you helping yourself? If it's just therapy,
it's going to take longer.
Yeah. It's going to take a lot longer, right? So
I'll be seeing you for a year.
So in answering your question, it's just ask yourself, how ready are you to begin to feel what you've been hiding from?
Okay.
Because in essence, in the most layman's terms of what ketamine is doing, it's bringing your subconscious to your conscious here so that you can face what you've been pushing down for so many years. And that's painful, Michelle.
Yeah.
People don't want to feel that pain.
No, I feel like you have to be mentally ready.
Which is the point of
to be mentally changed.
Why you come to us, right?
Exactly.
Why the ketamine-assisted therapy is not why you do it alone.
Yeah. We're here to create that safe space, to provide you that area, that space to talk about the things that hurt, the things we're afraid of talking about. And it's crazy to see that people live every day holding on to these painful moments, trying to get by, because I don't want to be considered crazy.
Yeah,
right.
When the reality is that we're all human We all go through things. We all experience life in different ways. Some people have harder moments than others. So why do it alone? Like, why live your life reliving this moment when we can just figure it out together and solve?
Yeah, and live to your fullest potential, whatever that is. You
know? We're constantly growing as individuals. Mm-hmm. Who we were 10 years ago is not who we are now. And
oh, thank God.
right?
And then that's a good thing.
Who we will be in 10 years will not be who we are right now.
I think I'm not who I am when I'm in middle school.
The glow up is real.
Yeah.
Oh, my God. No. I think you girls are on point. I love your mission. I love what you're doing. Thank you for servicing that community and for, you know, bringing the assisted academy clinic. You know, I know there's plenty, but you girls are on point.
Thank you. Thank you for having us. Thank you for giving us this platform to talk about it.
Yes, no, of course. Thank you, everyone, for watching. Thank you.